Welcome to the Assistive Technology in the Desert podcast. This podcast is being sponsored by the Arizona Governor's Council on Blindness and Visual Impairment in partnership with SanSans of Arizona. My name is B. Shapiro, and I am the Assistive Technology Committee Chair. We are excited to be here. In today's podcast, our guest is Carla Rivas Parker, Assistive Technology Specialist from the Arizona Technology Access Program, ASTEP, who is here to tell us about the services, and Bob Kresmer, who is the GCBVI Chair. Carla, thank you for being here today. And Bob, thank you for being here with me again.
I'm looking forward to this.
Thank you for the invite. I'm very excited being here as well.
Well, Carla, so can you tell us about what the Arizona Technology Access Program, ASTEP, is all about?
Okay, so the Arizona Technology Access Program is one of the 56 technology programs in the country. So there is an assistive technology program in every state and six of the U.S. territories as well. So in Arizona, we name it the Arizona Technology Access Program, and we serve the entire state. And what we do is basically link people with disabilities with assistive technology that will allow them to perform activities that will make them be independent, either at home, at work, at school, whatever the situation is. So we work with all ages, and we work with all disabilities.
So Carla, you call that ASTEP for short.
Correct.
So, as you mentioned, the program is one of 56 programs around the country, and I'm pretty sure you do almost exact as everybody else around the country, where you provide services of demoing and lending technology to our community, correct?
Yeah, it is correct. I mean, we have different services that we provide. We have people that know exactly what they want to try, and they contact us and they tell us, can I borrow this specific device? I want to see if this device will work for me. And we have people that have no clue what is available. So we do consultations with them. We sit down with them. We try to understand what their disabilities are, what are they trying to accomplish, in which environment they're trying to accomplish the task. And we brainstorm with them. We give them suggestions. And we show them the equipment, like demo it hands-on, so they can compare between different devices. And if they are interested in trying one of the devices for a longer term, meaning like a couple of weeks at their specific environment, like home or school or work, we allow them to have the equipment for 2 weeks. What is important about this is that the person has the opportunity to truly try the equipment in their environment and see if the technology does what they think it will do. If it will work, great. We will tell them where they can buy it. If it doesn't work, great. They did not expend the money on something that was not going to work for them. And I think that's the biggest value of our program, that you can try different things until you find what truly fits your need.
So when a person is trying something new, will there be somebody on the other end of a telephone line to help them get started?
Absolutely. We provide them with follow-up, basic training first, so they know, you know, how to utilize the equipment. If it's something that needs configuration, we do all the configuration on the piece of equipment. We give them basic training and we get them to the start point. And we provide with supported video trainings. So if they want to go for more advanced features, they can observe or watch those videos and try those additional features. So yes, we do provide it. Now, sometimes people want to try in their own equipment, and we cannot just send software so they can install in their own equipment. So to avoid any problems with that, we do provide the full equipment. Let's say they want to try like speech output software. We will lend them a whole computer system with the software in it, all configured, all ready to go, so their experience does not cause any frustrations in trying to install or configure something that they're not really familiar with.
That is excellent that it's that you guys do that, because I know how frustrating it is to trying to install if something doesn't go right. And especially for our older population, you know, it's very, very, very frustrating. So that is wonderful that you guys offer that.
So Carla, for someone who has vision loss, severe vision loss, what kind of assistive technology is in your inventory?
Oh boy, we have a huge list of items that can assist somebody with visual impairments. It all really depends what they want to do. We have from low technology to high technology. And I'm talking about low technology, things like writing guides, for example, that somebody probably had never tried. We have audio recorders. We have to high technology computers with speech output software, with even input software with like something like JSAY. So for people that are very limited in typing, for example, and they need to control the computer via voice, but still need to get the feedback from the speech output, we will provide a computer fully equipped with the speech output, speech input, and the proper training so they, again, don't get frustrated if something is not working the way it's supposed to work.
So Carla, you were mentioned that you provide guide videos type of things. So the videos are, people have to go to the website, or they get provided like a CD, or what did they do to kind of listen or watch the instructions on how to set up or use the technology?
It depends on the person's skill level and how comfortable they are either navigating like to a YouTube channel. But if the person has no skills in the computer and they want to learn, for example, Orcan My Eyes, to give an example, I put the information, I convert the videos into MP3 files and provide them in a thumb drive so they can be played in a talking book player, for example. That makes it accessible to them and they don't have to navigate through a computer or trying to get to the links. So we basically have a nice conversation with the person and trying to figure out what works best for them. Sometimes maybe the instructions need to be in large print or Braille, whatever the need is, we will provide it. It can be Braille, it can be large print, it can be audio, it can be just the links for the YouTube. So we just individualize that to the need of the person.
So Carla, you offer assistive technology that includes magnification or speech. It could be either computer dependent or not, or completely independent of a computer. Do you offer such things as telephones that would be more accessible to people with vision loss?
That is correct. So we have a variety of different technologies. So we have handheld magnifiers with light, without light. We have different versions. We have the handheld, the stand magnifiers, the wearable ones, like the glasses that you're going to put on and watch TV with, like, you know, I don't want to mention brand names, but we have electronic magnifiers. We have from the portable ones, different brand names that people can use at the stores and read on the spot, to desktop magnifiers that people can read on a desk and read kind of larger portions of information. We have OCRs, which is optical character recognition devices. We have software. We have a lot of ideas for people how to, you know, even make their phones accessible. Like you mentioned, we get a lot of people with Android phones that are not quite accessible for them. So we have training available for TalkBack to make that phone accessible. If it's a person that's not able to use a smartphone, we have telephones that were made specifically for people who are blind, that the people can try and see what works best for them. We have just landline phones that if the person is not into the technology, or they don't have the ability to use on the smartphones, or still on the landline world, there are still phones accessible for this population with speech output from the phone, plus large keys with contrast. So we have different lightings as well, so people can try. Sometimes lighting is the key for somebody to see better. So we have different types of light and light features that people can try, that kind of thing. So
what about people who have visual impairment but also have hearing loss and stuff like that? What type of technology that you would combine to help this type of population?
It combines in both as well. So some of the phones are for both. So like last week, I was doing a presentation in a conference, and I was talking, some of the phones that I presented, they have the capacity to work with T-coil, which is the little antenna that's built up in the hearing aid. So this allows a clear communication for the client, or the phones come with amplification up to like 50 decibels, which allows better control of the volume, and the person is able to hear better. We do have other devices that will enhance audio, for example, in just regular conversations, like microphones that will amplify and connect via Bluetooth to their hearing aids. We have FM systems that will connect with neck loops that, again, will enhance conversations person to person, or if they are attending church or things like that, they can utilize these devices to enhance their communication. And I mean, all depends what the person needs. That's where we come up with potential ideas. It's not like one size fits all. We really go into knowing what the client needs are, what they currently are using, what had they tried, if they had tried anything in the past, and we'll go from there and trying to provide them with ideas what they can implement to enhance whatever they wanna do. And if we have like a person that's totally blind and needs to access the computer, we do have different speech output softwares that they can try. We have braille displays that they can try. And we have instructions in even how to connect the phones to braille displays. So if we have like a deaf blind person that is interested in trying a braille display with their phone, we can provide that service for them.
Do you have a location where, if possible, a person can come in and examine and touch things?
Yeah, our main location is here in Phoenix, although we serve the entire state of Arizona. Our main location is at 300 West Clarendon Avenue And the main crossing streets are basically Third Avenue and Indian School. That's where we are. We don't accept walk-ins. It has to be done with appointments. So we are ready for the person. That gives us the opportunity to know the person and get the equipment we may think will work for them. So we typically like to do consultation. It's not an official assessment. It's just a consultation where we learn about the person and we have ideas of what may work, and then we invite the person or we can demo the different equipments that we think it will work, and we'll go from there.
So you offer equipment that is less expensive up to very expensive. If a person tries it out and finds out that it will work for them, can you help them purchase that?
We do two things. We may refer them to potential sources of financing funding for them, depending what they want to use the device for. For example, if they need the device for employment related, we provide them with resources that may allow them to advocate with their own employer, or may apply for services with the vocational rehabilitation services. If it's for independent living, we provide them also with information about the Independent Living Blind program, for example. If none of the programs will work for them, and they have more like an urgent need to have the equipment, we do have a financial program that they can apply for and obtain a loan. I mean, the loan will vary depending on the cost of the equipment. So,
but these people have to have that they do a economic based on their economic to give them the loan, or it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You don't even have to have a perfect credit score either. We look into the entire application. So there is a committee that meets the second Tuesday of the month, and they review the applications that came in for financial funding. And so the credit history, we look into that, but it's not a factor to determine if we do the loan or not. So it's other factors that we take into consideration. The person has to provide like three quotes of three different places that may sell the equipment. And if the person is approved for the loan, we work through a bank, and the bank will issue a check directly to the vendor. They don't issue the check to the client. So it will be to the vendor that they select. And then the vendor will provide the equipment to the person.
So I understand this is a very low interest loan, but the term or the length of the loan can vary widely?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, it could be from 6 months to up to 5 years, but it all depends on the loan amount and depends on the warranty of the equipment the person is purchasing as well.
That they have a limit of how much it is. I know you mentioned that it can be very little up to that. They have a cap of where they stop for the loan.
Yes. So the minimum is $100 and the maximum will be $18,000.
How does one learn about what ASTEP is? How does one get in contact with ASTEP? Or does one have to be part of another different program in order to qualify?
No, you don't have to be part of any other program. We work with anybody. And when I say anybody, we work directly with people with disabilities that are interested in our services. Or we can also work with the family members or friends that are interested in getting something for their loved ones. We work with therapists that are wanting to try equipment for their clients and want to know what device may work best for them. We work with professionals that may want to learn about the features of a device. So when they have clients that need to learn the device, they're ready for that. So we work with them. We work with the public in general. I mean, we do all kinds of different services. We provide, for example, technical support to organizations that want to make their facilities more accessible for people with disabilities, but they don't know how to go about it. We work with them and provide them with technical assistance. We do work with professionals and provide them with trainings. So, for example, we have a big conference last week, and that was mainly for professionals. And we bring speakers that will talk about different topics and pretty much basically for the professional to expand their knowledge and better serve our people with disabilities. So it's not really a limitation who can apply for services. We don't really have a formal official application process. It all depends what you want. It's just maybe a simple phone call to us or an email or through our website. If it's equipment you want to request, you just get to our website and you can request the information through there. So our website address is www.astap.org. Or if you want to shoot us an email, the email is askastap@nau.edu.
Could you repeat that, please?
askastap@nau, which stands for Northern Arizona University, .edu for education. So we, just based on this information, we are really housed under the Northern Arizona University. That's
kind of the same, seems like a very well-kept secret resource.
And I don't know why, because we tried our best to do community outreach. And mouth to mouth, it seems to be a way to get people know about us. So we're always happy to participate in any event that will allow people to learn about our programs and what we can do for the people. Because we really, I mean, can work with anybody.
Yeah. Do you have a yeah, final question for Carla?
I wanted to ask Carla. I know they offer a conference. And this conference is yearly, right? In the summer, I believe.
Yes.
That we were talking about, that you offer that for professionals and stuff. So these conferences offer every year.
Yes, we offer that conference every year. And we also offer web seminars when we have professionals talking about a specific topic. And we send out invites and we grant certificates of participation, so that motivates professionals to participate in those trainings. We also provide training to individual organizations. So, for example, if an organization wants to learn more about specific topics, so recently I got a request for an organization wanting to know more about apps for Android and iPhones that can benefit people who are blind or visually impaired. I provided the training to these organizations so they better can serve their clients. And so it depends. I mean, people can ask us to participate in different events and we'll be happy to do. We'll make time.
Can people sign up for like a newsletter or your announcements and stuff like that?
Yes, in our website, toward the bottom of the website, it says sign for our newsletter, and you can get announcements through that.
Carla, is there a final thought you want our Sun Sound listeners to keep in mind?
I mean, yeah, our service is really good. For the technology, we know assistive technology is important for us to be independent. and you don't have to expend a lot of money to find the proper technology for you. So basically count with us in your journey when you're trying to figure out what technology will work for you.
Well, Carla, we really appreciate you coming and telling us about the services that your program offers, and hoping to have you back to let us know when other technology comes up and stuff like that. So we really appreciate you coming here today.
I hope a lot of people get on the phone or on the email and contact you for more information.
Thank you. We will be happy to talk to anybody that needs our services.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And looking forward to having you again for our next podcast next month.
If you'd like more information, you can call 1-800-477-9921. That number again is 1-800-447-9921. My thanks to the Arizona Government's Council on Blindness and Visual Impairment for teaming up with Sun Sounds of Arizona for Tech in the Desert. Tech in the Desert airs the fourth Saturday of the month at 11 a.m. Stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.